onto the program. And it really is such a pleasure to have Jordan Hill Lewis here for the first time. He's never been to a business conference. This is BNC 9. Helen Ziller's been here. She was cursed by Gayton McKenzie. And I don't know if there were there any of you here at that one. Yeah, Peter Ish. So Helen came in late. I thought she was going to arrive after Gayton and Mashaba had their talks. But she actually arrived early, and the lights were incredibly bright. So if you were standing here, you couldn't see anybody. Colin's got the lights perfect at the moment. And she was sitting in the front row. And these two guys went off as though Helen wasn't in the room. And as it happened, she was the fireside speaker that night. And she really brought new meaning to the term revenge is a dish best served cold. It's worth going and listening. Fireside is supposed to be 45 minutes. With Helen, it was 90 minutes, and you could hear a pin drop. Anyway, she's been on the here numerous times. Jordan's predecessor. Please, guys, just put her on silent. I mean, it's not difficult to do. Even I can do it, so you won't hear my lovely ringtone coming through. And I just want to tell you a little bit about Jordan. I met him for the first time in London when Musi Maimane was the leader. Jordan was working with Musi. We had dinner. The two of us were like not such important people at the table. So we sat on the one side and we had a really good nap, a really good chat. It was just before Brexit 2016. And I thought, oh, this guy's smart. This guy's going to go places. And I wasn't wrong. 15 years ago, he was 24 years old, and he was elected as the youngest MP to that point in South Africa. At 34, he became Cape Town's second youngest mayor. And this April, at 39, DA delegates handed him the top job. They voted him in with over 90%. And so he's the federal leader of the party. And what is interesting, and I don't think he'd ever tell you this, so I will, what I got from behind the scenes was that he was not prepared to stand against John Steenhuisen, who was a friend of his. He was loyal to him. I like that. I love loyalty. I think in South Africa, we've got that loyalty DNA. But when John Steenhuisen decided not to stand, then Jordan came in. He didn't give up his day job, though, as leader of the DA. You are probably well aware that he's still running Cape Town, and he's still campaigning in Cape Town for a second term off the back of a load-shedding turnaround and a no-confidence motion that he beat 3-1. He's an economist by trading, Cape Town, then London. He's a reformer by instinct. And now he's making the case that the DA can govern a country, not just a city. Please welcome the leader of the Democratic Alliance and Executive Mayor of Cape Town, Jordan Hill Lewis.
This BizNews production is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, the leader in offshore investing, connecting South Africa to opportunities worldwide. Invest better with Brenthurst.
Well, thank you very much, Alec, for the kind invitation. As you said, it is my first BNC, and it is really cool to be here. I've been watching online for a few years, but really great to be here in person. And what a great crowd. Now, I must just say that when I was getting dressed at 5:30 this morning in the dark in Cape Town, knowing that I was heading here, I reached into my cupboard for the fluffiest, wooliest jersey that I could find, knowing that I was coming to freezing Drakensberg, but forgetting when I picked my dark green jersey that I'm speaking before Duduzana Zuma, whose party colors are dark green. So I just want to say to Mr. Zuma and others, this is not an endorsement. It just happens to be the color that I picked out of my cupboard this morning. But what a pleasure to be here. And thank you, Alec and BizNews, for creating a space where South Africans can speak frankly about the choices facing our country. Today marks exactly 4 months since that day that Alec was speaking about, when I was elected federal leader of the DA. 4 months is not long enough to transform a political party, never mind a country, but it is long enough to establish a clear direction. And it is long enough to show people what kind of leadership they can expect. And so I wanted to say a few things about that today. It's long enough, certainly, to make one thing clear, that the DA is not going to be merely interested in managing the decline of South Africa. We are interested in reversing it. We do not accept the argument that South Africa cannot work or that it is beyond fixing. We are fundamentally optimists about South Africa and her future. My central belief is that South Africa can work for everyone, that a future of broadly shared prosperity is still possible in our country. We know that it will take a lot of hard work. It will also take a different kind of politics, a politics that is more serious, that is committed to bringing integrity into government, that is committed to ending the wave after wave of scandal and looting that have come to define our state, and a kind of politics that returns to the values that define our country at its best and not at its worst. Most importantly, a politics focused laser-like on building trust with millions of South Africans who have not yet voted for us before. And I say not yet very deliberately. This past weekend, we launched our local government manifesto in Johannesburg. I hope that some of you got a chance to watch it. This manifesto and the launch is another indicator, small but important indicator, of this new kind of politics that I'm speaking about at work. Our manifesto, rather unusually for a political party, makes no grand promises of easy miracles. Instead, ours is a straightforward, humble, and serious plan to get towns and cities working. And perhaps that is the grandest thing that South Africa needs right now. Our plan is positive, optimistic, and hopeful. It is not based on talk. It is based on what our party has done, is doing, and will do in municipalities across the country. You see, the evidence that South Africa can work already exists. It exists where capable government meets accountable leadership. It exists in towns and cities where the DA governs with a clear mandate and can be held responsible for the result. But the opposite is also true. Failure is not confined to municipalities governed by the ANC alone. We have now seen coalitions of chaos in which the ANC, EFF, and MKP are joined or they are enabled by other smaller and fundamentally unserious parties who trade only in the politics of grievance and fear, but offer nothing by way of new ideas for how to fix things. In too many municipalities after the last election, the 2021 local government election, citizens have seen a revolving door of mayors, collapsing services, political horse trading, and no one willing to accept responsibility or accountability. And so the argument that I make is that the real dividing line in South African politics is no longer simply the ANC versus the opposition. No. It is between government that works and politics that does not work. However, as refreshing and simple and important as working towns and cities would be across our country, that alone is not going to be enough to turn around South Africa. The politics of competence is a good start. The politics of integrity is a good addition on top of that. But to really change South Africa for the better, we must also proudly make the case for different ideas. We are not in politics to pursue the same ideas as the incumbents, just executed more efficiently. We believe in a different conception of the role of the state in society, and we know that the pursuit of our ideas leads to greater liberty, more opportunity, more human prosperity, less poverty and suffering, and to a successful society in the end. So, we are committed to working towns, but we cannot stop at working towns. Our mission must be to become the biggest party in South Africa. That is the only way that we will reform the state fundamentally so that it actually works in favor of all South Africans. Now, that is hard and ambitious. Yes, it is. But there is reason to be optimistic. Last week, the Social Research Foundation released its newest poll. You might recall that the SRF was the most accurate polling in the last election cycle. Accurate in the final weeks to within half a percentage point, if memory serves. Most of the media has perhaps understandably focused all of their reporting on the implosion of ANC support in Johannesburg to just 18% support now. So if you look at the way that that poll has been covered the last week, it's all focused on that that Johannesburg number, that 18% number. And of course, it's easy to understand why, given the absolute massive attention on the Joburg election. In the same poll, the DA and our wonderful, energetic mayoral candidate, who you just referenced, who spoke here previously, Helen Zille, is attracting 44% of the vote. That is within striking distance of a majority, which would give her and the DA the mandate needed to begin the long, hard slog of fixing that wonderful but benighted city. So perhaps it is understandable that that has attracted the lion's share of the coverage. But to my mind, one of the secondary numbers is just as important, if not even more so. An equally shocking result was the fact that the gap between the DA and the ANC nationally is now just 7%, at 27% and 34% respectively. That is truly exciting and wonderful news, and I certainly intend to press the advantage. The other reason to be optimistic is that the ANC's worldview is rapidly colliding with the facts of life. For example, what is hardly ever said about the reform agenda currently being pursued by the GNU under the rubric of Operation Vulindlela, what's hardly ever said about that is the obvious truth, that those reforms are being pursued now only because everything else has already failed. That is the brutal truth of it. The ANC is not privatizing the ports because they love to do so. They will, of course, never use the P word, but they call it concessioning, but they can call it that if they want to. But they're not doing that because they love to do so. They are doing so with great reluctance because they are fresh out of other options. Their adherence to every other statist fantasy has failed. And so all that remains is reality. I recently had a discussion with an ANC mayor of one of the other seven metros in South Africa. I will not give their name or even their gender because I genuinely appreciated this conversation and I want to protect them. I don't want them to get into trouble for saying this. But their words will actually stay with me always. This metro mayor said to me, "I now realize that the things I spent my whole life believing were true are the same things that have destroyed this city." Poignant words indeed. Conversely, though, reality is more closely aligned to the DA's conception of the state. Put simply, the DA has reality on our side. Now, reality is a powerful ally. But in politics, truth and reality are often not all that influential, as global politics is currently ably demonstrating to all of us. So in order to win, we must combine our offer of competence, integrity, trustworthiness, getting governments to work, with the intellectual confidence to make a strong case for the things we believe in. That is our path to being the largest party in South Africa in the future. I want to just take three brief illustrations or priorities that I've used in the first 4 months that I've been in this job to demonstrate what I mean. The first is law and order. Law and order is the first condition of liberty. If you claim to be concerned about increasing human potential and making freedom meaningful, as we certainly are, then it is essential that we establish ourselves as the party that will bring law and order to South Africa. Last month, in a part of Cape Town called Delft, I pledged that Cape Town would build South Africa's first Metro Police detective branch if voters renew our mandate in November. That pledge is the culmination of 5 years of work as mayor of Cape Town, where we have relentlessly pursued devolved policing powers. But this advocacy springs from a couple of wells. Firstly, and most importantly, from the experience of families living under gang rule. Parents who hear gunshots at night, children who cannot play in the streets, communities who watch the same criminals return because arrests never become convictions. Cape Town's Metro Police already confiscate more than 450 illegal firearms a year. Yet the city has found that only 5% of those cases result in convictions. That is a number so horrifying and unacceptable that you would think it would make everyone stop dead in their tracks and say that requires an immediate and urgent response. And yet, all of our calls for greater policing powers so that we can help address this have so far only been met by a tin ear. And I think my colleague Ian, who is here, will touch on this more tomorrow as well in his talk. So, our pledge is not only been about policing powers, it's about fighting for the principle that powers must be devolved to let local and provincial governments get on with fixing problems that national governments cannot. And it is our firm belief that South Africa's future will be better served by more federalism, not less. So we must give stiff resistance, and we do give stiff resistance, to the constant attempts to subsume more power to the center, and must fight to change the direction of that traffic completely. Powers must move away from Pretoria to capable provinces and local governments. The case of policing powers will be an important test. If the national government continues to refuse this without any rational public interest basis, they continue to refuse to allow a capable city to help investigate violent crime, we are more than prepared to test that refusal in the courts. And when the DA leads the national government, our national crime plan can be stated in just 3 words. Catch, convict, and clean up. Catch criminals through professional policing and intelligence. Convict them through detectives, forensics, working dockets and capable prosecutors, and clean up the police itself, because SAPS cannot get criminals off of our streets while criminals operate inside the SAPS. And so in this example, you can see how we are bringing those two things together. The politics of reliability and competence, fixing how the criminal justice system already works, and also pursuing a different idea about how the state should work, namely devolution and growing federalism. This is the new kind of politics I'm talking about. A second illustration is one relevant today with the latest quarterly labor force survey showing that unemployment is now at a 4-year high. And that is, of course, jobs and economic freedom. South Africa does not have an unemployment crisis because government has failed to invent enough public employment schemes. We have an unemployment crisis because for too long, government has made it far too difficult to invest, build, hire, trade, and grow. Jobs are created when an entrepreneur takes a decision to risk their own capital, when a company expands a production line, when a developer receives an approval, when a tourist books a trip, or when a small trader gains a new customer. Government's role is not to command or interfere in this process. Its role is to create the condition in which millions of private decisions can produce growth and opportunity. This is again the approach that we have taken in Cape Town, and the results are clear. Four and a half years ago, we started an ease of doing business program that measures the actual time, cost, and complexity of 10 business-facing municipal processes that the business community themselves gave us that they would like progress on. We published the results publicly so that we can be held publicly accountable for progress on these fronts. One practical example is the city's digital wayleave system. The average process has been reduced from approximately 40 days to 6 days, an 85% improvement. Now, that may sound technical, but to a business waiting to install fiber, connect electricity, install infrastructure, or begin construction, 40 days waiting for a municipal wayleave is more than a month of extra holding costs. It is rent, it is wages, it is interest, it is lost customers, it is delayed jobs. Cape Town is certainly not perfect. Our unemployment remains far too high, even though it is the lowest in the country. By global standards, it is still far too high. But the contrast matters. Just listen to the contrast. This is the approach that a different conception of the role of the state makes. Over the last 5 years, Cape Town created nearly two-thirds of all the net increase in employment in the five big metros in South Africa. Cape Town created more jobs, in fact, a lot more jobs, than the other four largest metros put together. That is the compound effect of functioning institutions, reliable services, infrastructure investment, regulatory improvement, and a government that welcomes enterprise instead of treating it with constant suspicion. This is the lesson I want the DA to carry into every government we lead. The private sector is not a suspect to be monitored or a junior partner to be bullied. It is where jobs are created. It is where enterprise and investment happens. A capable state, bringing together those two ideas again, a capable state must do the essentials well. Law and order, infrastructure, education, healthcare, safety net for people in genuine need. But it must also have the proper conception of what the role of the state actually is and not go beyond that. It must trust citizens, trust entrepreneurs. That brings me to the question of the government of national unity. The DA entered the government of national unity for two reasons. To keep destructive populists away from the levers of national power, and to show South Africans what the DA can actually achieve in government. But let me be very clear. The DA's participation in the government of national unity is not unconditional. Being in government does not require silence, and partnership cannot mean more of the same. When the ANC obstructs reform, ignores agreements, protects compromised politicians, or places party interests ahead of public interest, the DA will say so and say so openly. We will fight inside the government where agreement is possible, and we will fight in public where accountability requires it. That approach has already been tested these last 4 months, and it will be tested again often. But that is how we intend to raise standards in our politics in South Africa. Not by creating this concept of collective protection, but by creating collective accountability. That is why on the president's Palapala matter, we've taken the same principled position. President Ramaphosa has the right to approach the courts. Parliament must respect judicial process. But a procedural interdict is not an acquittal, and it cannot become a device for indefinite delay. The review should be heard urgently, and Parliament must fulfill its constitutional responsibility once the courts have clarified the route forward. At the PIC, we have opposed the old habit of treating control over the pensions of teachers, nurses, and police officers as another opportunity for cadre deployment. The DA argued for an independent, professionally qualified chairperson, not simply another politician. The ultimate outcome fell short of the clean break we wanted, but we insisted on a commitment to the outstanding Mpati Commission reforms, and we got that, and we will hold the government to that commitment. None of these things are comfortable issues. Coalition politics, GNU politics, is not meant to be comfortable. It's meant to produce better government. And now, we must go even further. DA ministers will use every lawful opportunity and regulatory power available to them to open the economy. They must challenge rules that protect incumbents instead of consumers, shorten approval times, remove barriers to investment, expand access, enable private participation, and insist that regulation be judged by outcomes rather than ideology. The DA does not believe a regulation is successful or nice or necessary just because it was announced with the right revolutionary language. Government is successful if the economy grows, unemployment comes down, human suffering is eased, and people are moved out of poverty. So we are not in national government to become more like the ANC, and we will never be. We are there to make national government work more like the best DA governments. That is the deepest shift I spoke about last month in a speech called Subjects to Citizens. For too long, South African politics has treated people as subjects of political parties, dependent on the permission, patronage, tenders, and connections of state approval. A citizen-centered country begins from the opposite premise. The state belongs to the citizen. Opportunity should not depend on proximity to a political party. Economic decisions should belong to free people. What to build, where to invest, who to hire, and how to serve their customers. The DA I am building will be unapologetically on the side of those citizens. We'll be on the side of the family who wants a safer street, the young person looking for a job, the small business owner who needs an answer from their municipality, the investor deciding whether South Africa is worth the risk, and the voter who is tired of being told that failure is inevitable. 4 months into this job, my optimism about South Africa has not diminished. In fact, it has grown. Because I've seen how quickly people respond when politics offers something better than just anger. I've seen how communities cross old political boundaries because they actually really want a working government. And I've seen in the places where the DA governs well that decline is not inevitable, that success and prosperity is possible. So this will be the DA that I try to build under my leadership. A party strong enough to govern, a party confident enough to support markets and liberty, a party serious enough to enforce the law, a party honest enough to confront complexity, including that inside the GNU, and a party optimistic enough to believe that South Africa's best days are very much ahead of it. Thank you very much.
This BizNews production is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, building wealth and protecting legacy since 2004. Invest better with Brenthurst. Start your day a step ahead. BizNews Insider. It delivers the business stories that matter every morning straight to your inbox, sharp, fast, and free. Subscribe now.